1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The jury in the sex trafficking trial of Sean Diddy Combs has reached a verdict on 4 of 5 counts against him, but is stuck on the racketeering conspiracy charge. Legal contributor Caroline Polisi.
A partial verdict, while it is acceptable technically, it's a difficult resolution, especially on this RICO charge, since it is one of those top charges.
It narrowly passed the Senate. Now the president's massive spending and tax bill heads to the House. Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is vowing to get it defeated.
Republicans are not the party of working class Americans. They are the party of the wealthy, the well-off, and the well-connected. Stop lying to the American people.
A severe heat wave in Europe has altered a lot of tourist plans.
I don't think we actually mentally came prepared that this was going to be so hot in Paris, because we had booked the tickets much well in advance.
The summit of the Eiffel Tower was closed due to the heat. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Fireworks can be a blast, but they can also ruin the fun if someone gets hurt and are no fun at all for those sensitive to loud, unexpected noises. Tens of thousands of people were treated in emergency departments last year in the U.S. for fireworks-related injuries. Eric Mackey, MD, an Aspirus emergency medicine physician, said they see a lot of burn injuries from fireworks.
One of the most common things that causes burns is sparklers. They are fun, and I know everybody enjoys them at this time of year, but they burn at extremely high temperature, and even when the firework has completed, the residual stick from the sparkler remains very hot.
Mackey said firecrackers that explode can cause serious injuries.
Those can have more devastating impacts.
An important safety strategy involves making sure children are supervised appropriately and that an adult is the one igniting the fireworks. You should never place any part of your body directly over the firework when lighting the fuse.
The other thing we commonly see are eye-related injuries from burning embers or portions of fireworks that find their way into the eye.
Along with the more than 14,000 people treated in ERs last year, there were also 11 deaths.
Some of the other high-risk things are, again, the much more explosive firecracker and even more explosive type of fireworks designed primarily to make loud bang.
And those loud bangs can have a devastating effect on our pets and on our military veterans who have survived combat. If you have a neighbor who is a combat veteran, please be courteous when shooting off fireworks. Consider letting them know, especially if you will be lighting them off prior to the 4th of July or after. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO.
Big changes for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks making some record moves in free agency. They waived Damian Lillard, who suffered that torn Achilles tendon. Lillard, who turns 35 later this month, will be paid $22.5 million over the next 5 years in dead money by the Bucks owners. GM John Horst then making a deal to acquire Indiana Pacers center Miles Turner, a 4-year deal worth $107 million. Turner is 29 years old. He'll replace 37-year-old Brooke Lopez, who will sign a 2-year contract with the LA Clippers. To get under the salary cap, the Bucks had to trade guard Pat Connaughton and 2 future second-round picks to the Charlotte Hornets in exchange for Vasilije Micic, a 31-year-old guard from Serbia. And Milwaukee will also sign 11-year veteran guard Gary Harris of the Orlando Magic. Again, Damian Lillard, no longer with the Bucks. Baseball, the Brewers and the Mets rained out tonight in New York. They'll play a split doubleheader tomorrow. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 60s. Partly sunny for tomorrow, maybe a stray storm, a high in the mid 80s. And upper 80s on Thursday, another slight storm chance. A couple of storms around for the 4th of July and temps in the upper 80s and muggy. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Join us this Wednesday for a special early July 4th episode, digging deep on today's attacks on our freedoms. Defending civil rights isn't optional. It's our shared obligation. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who prefers to travel by catapult, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I am Pete Schwabba. Welcome, welcome. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. We are inching closer to the 4th of July weekend, a holiday weekend, one of the most probably festive holidays we have here in America in terms of things we look forward to, long weekends, et cetera, et cetera. Just kind of throwing caution to the wind, eating and drinking like fools, and celebrating our nation's birth and independence. We have a great show tonight, folks. We are going to be talking. I thought this was perfect for the 4th of July because 4th of July is the kind of holiday where you stand around a keg, you have some cocktails, you watch some fireworks, but it's kind of and I don't mean this in an unsafe or unhealthy way, but it's a drinking holiday. It's a summer booze holiday. And what better guest to have on the radio tonight on Nightlight than a distiller? Conrad, you know who we have coming in?
Sturgeon.
Sturgeon Spirits.
There we
go. Distillery founder Carl Lowenstein will join us here in the studio at 6:35. He makes everything. And I'm fascinated by the whole distilling process because it looks very cool. I just think it's a process. A lot of work and care goes into it. And ever since I watched the show MASH, where Hawkeye and Trapper would make their own booze in the tent, even before I drank, I was fascinated at the process. And especially with whiskey and bourbon and the barrels and all that kind of stuff, I find the whole process really interesting. So I thought, what better? And this is a great week to have a distiller on the show. Carl will be here at 6:35. I have a host of questions for him, and I'm sure he will enjoy answering them. I talked to him on the phone the other day, and he's also a UW Oshkosh professor. So we'll talk to Carl about what he brings to each craft by way of the other. And he will be here at 6:35 in the studio. And then at 7:35, in honor of Cameron Frye's birthday, actor Alan Ruck turns, I believe, 55 today. He played Cameron Frye in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So we will have a little discussion about Ferris Bueller's Day Off at 7:35 with our pal Lisa Hale, the host of New Wisco Weekend, here on WGBW and WISS, if you haven't checked out our news magazine show that Lisa hosts. It's really fun, and there's a different theme every week. It's a great show. Conrad contributes to it every week. I do a classic movie pick every week. It's just a little treasure we have here in Northeast Wisconsin, the Northeast Wisconsin branch of Civic Media. Lisa will be here at 7:35, and we were already... Lisa, every time I email Lisa, I think I told you this, Con, she comes back with movie lines. When I tell her what my classic movie pick of the week will be, she has a ton of movie lines. Like, she's apparently seen everything. She dwarfs my knowledge of movies, and it's kind of emasculating. But we'll have a fun talk with Lisa at 7:35 about a great movie and a great summertime movie, too. Ferris Bueller's Day Off came out in 1987 or 88. I got to go to the Google. But it was a summer movie, and it was just a great, I think I saw it like 5 times that summer. So we'll talk to Lisa about that. That'll be fun. And we'll talk fireworks. What did you find out about fireworks? The history. They go back really far.
Yeah, they do. I believe it was made from
China, right?
Yeah, China, yeah. With gunpowder, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, it's personally, I'm a see it one time a year guy. Fireworks. I don't know. I don't go crazy for fireworks. What about you?
Same. I don't. We've been lucky. We have a neighbor. Our neighbor Marty has put on this little fireworks show every year. I don't think he's doing it this year, but the people in our neighborhood just kind of walk down to the water and we get our own little personal show, which is fine. But my mom loves fireworks. And she said, well, if Marty's not doing them this year, maybe we could all get in the car and go over to Menominee across the river to Michigan. Yeah. And when you do that, you might as well be in downtown Chicago. I'm not fighting traffic in a small town.
Yeah.
There are hundreds of cars and I'm not doing it. And I don't like fireworks that much. Like, they're beautiful. I love them. But to be honest, I like watching them on TV over the mall in Washington that they do every year. That's fun. I like looking across the bay and seeing Door County's displays. It's a little bit of a distance, but you can still, I mean, it's just a fun show, but that's my level of interest. I don't have to sit there under the fireworks for 2 hours.
In Kewaskum, it was like that too. It was, you know, there's cars everywhere. Luckily for me, I lived in town, so if I wanted to, I could walk to it.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
But then you have to find a seat.
Right.
And in Kewaskum, they do it on a hill.
Okay.
Like, that's where people sit, and then a little bit across the grass is where they start shooting off fireworks. It's in a park.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to find an actual spot in there.
Right.
On that hill. I mean, it's pretty big.
It sounds kind of cool.
It was cool. But it's like, you've seen them, they don't really change that much every year.
Right.
It's fireworks. They're going to do the same thing. I don't know.
They do the same thing, and every year you hear the, ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well,
you just saw this the last 30 years in a row. Is this really new? And I know I sound like a bah humbugger, but fireworks are beautiful. I love them at a baseball game or when it's not expected or something like that. But I now that my kids are older, I used to brave those groups, you know, especially when we lived in L.A., it was more of a hassle. But even in a small town, you know, when you got to get your spot, like you said, and there are, maybe I'm exaggerating, but I don't think I am. I bet there were years when there have been over 100 or 200 cars, which in a small town creates a
lot.
Bottleneck,
yeah.
You know? And I just don't, I don't know.
I'm kind of a bah humbug with this too. Like, I don't know. I just never really liked fireworks that much. Like, I'd go to a Temple Rattler game with my brother and some of his friends, and they'd be like, we got to stay for fireworks after. I'm like, why?
See, that I would do. If you're already there,
I know. I'm
sure,
like,
sure, bring it.
But we can beat the traffic, you know?
Oh, you're that guy.
As soon as we get in, all right, how are we going to get out, guys?
That's great. But I'm not anti-firework. I'm anti-crowd. You know,
yeah.
My brother and my dad got in the car on Father's Day and went to a Cubs game from Marinette, Wisconsin. They drove 4 hours to Wrigley Field and 4 hours home the same day. Maybe something's wrong with me. I'm not doing that.
I wouldn't do that either.
I've been to hundreds of baseball games. I love it. And, you know, if I could jump on the L or if I lived an hour away, maybe I would do that. But, and they're both lawyers. I knew there'd be a ton of legal talk and I have no interest in that. So
that sounds like a fun car ride.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk more about torts. Anyway, again, I don't mean to sound like a bah humbugger. I actually, when I was a kid, there was a kid in our neighborhood who blew half of his thumb off with a firework. So I've always had this kind of bias.
There's a kid who I know who did that.
Really?
Too. Well, his whole hand, actually.
He blew his whole hand off?
All of his fingers.
Like an M80 or something?
I don't know. We weren't that close, but yeah. Like, I heard about it.
We should have had him on for our handshake segment last week. Not to me, like, they didn't freak me out whenever I was around someone doing fireworks. I'd kind of keep my distance, but whatever, I didn't mind watching, but it scared me for my kids. Like, I was always worried they were going to be at some idiot's house who didn't know what they were doing. And I always thought about that kid in our neighborhood that blew half his thumb off.
Yeah.
Half your thumb. And he was like 9 messing around with fireworks in the park. Yeah, it was insane.
You know, I don't like those, what are those little like things you can throw and they make that snappy noise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I'd have friends that would just chuck them at people.
Oh, horrible. I knew kids that would put them in animals. It's what? Awful. Yeah. In Marinette, several years ago down by the water, I caught some kids putting fireworks in toads. And I'm like, what? Get out of here, you future serial killers.
Yeah,
like,
that's crazy.
It's so awful. And I looked online to find some fireworks accidents because I thought there'd be some funny ones, but it's all just horrifying.
Yeah, no. It's
you want to talk about it, you know?
No, that's terrible.
All right, so I promise the show will go uphill from here, folks. We'll try to turn this around. I have a piece of glass in my foot, which is kind of...
That sucks.
It does, and it's not a big... It's like a little shard. It's a tiny shard.
Those are the worst.
That hurts a little bit, and I can't find it. And I know that something was broken on the kitchen floor, and I'm sure somebody swept it up and didn't quite get everything. So now, what do I do? Like, I know you're not a doctor, but like, do I wait for it to pass like a kidney stone, or is it going to get infected? I don't know what to do.
This is what I'll tell you. The one thing that I've done to help me get it splinters or something like that is leave my foot in the bathtub until it gets to that little like soggy state.
Oh, and then go digging around?
And then it kind of like goes out a little bit.
Here's the problem. I haven't taken a bath since 1974.
Well, you don't have to take an actual, just put your foot in there.
Put my foot in some water. Okay. And then you until get the tweezers and...
Exactly.
What are you saying? It works its way out
because
of the heat or the moisture what?
I don't know. It just works for me.
Okay.
I've done it with my hand, too.
Serious medical opinion here.
I've done it with my hand.
All right. And, I got to do something. It's starting to annoy me more than anything. I'm not like bleeding profusely or anything.
Those are the worst, though. Those little tiny things that you can't
find.
The
annoying. Yeah.
But you can feel it.
Exactly. Did you say we missed a Steady Eddie text last night?
Yeah, last night he was talking about, you asked him, was it the Atlanta Braves or the Milwaukee Braves? And he's texted in saying the Milwaukee Braves.
The Milwaukee Braves. Okay, very good, Steady Eddie. That, by the way, him just saying Milwaukee Braves is the shortest Steady Eddie text we've ever received.
It is.
So we are going to get to our question of the night shortly. We have... a great one tonight, folks. And I hope everybody, it's been so fun with the questions lately. And last night we had great responses to our, who is the greatest athlete ever to wear a pro or college Wisconsin uniform. And tonight we've got a good one too. As I mentioned at 6:35, Carl Lowenstein will be here from Sturgeon Spirits Distillery. We're going to talk distilling and spirits. It's going to be a lot of fun, especially right before the 4th of July. So I think we should not waste any more time and get to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What drink will you be nursing on the 4th of July? I mean, I'm not encouraging day drinking, but if there is a day... You are going to day drink. It's going to be the 4th of July. So what's a good drink to nurse? You got to take your time, especially if you start early, before noon, post noon, whatever. What's a good drink to nurse on the 4th of July? Let's have an information exchange here and help each other out. And not while you're driving, you know, if you're staying in your neighborhood and you're just going to watch fireworks and cook out, and you don't want to really cook out when you've been day drinking either, but... What's a good drink to nurse on the 4th of July? Responsibly. Wisconsibly, I should say.
Well, Wisconsibly and nursing don't really go hand in hand.
Opposite ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I don't know this one. Like I said, I haven't had a drink in over a couple of years now, but there was a slushy. The Murphy side of my family used to make. My mom's relatives made this, like, I think it was brandy and ice. It would probably be something like that or margarita. What about you?
So... I just recently tried this new Line and Kugel's beer.
Summer Shandy?
No, I've had that many, many of times. It is a new flavor that they put out this year, and it's Liney Lodge Lime.
Lime?
And it's it's a Mexican lager.
Ooh.
With like lime in it already, pretty much.
Okay.
It's so good.
Really?
It's dynamite. I'm going to have some of those.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah. That's heavy, though.
Not really. It's a little bit heavier than a Corona, I'd say.
All right, fair enough. So that's our question, folks. Please be part of the fun. We'll read your text on the radio. What drink will you be nursing on the 4th of July? Great night for this because we've got an actual distiller, Carl Lowenstein, in the studio tonight at 6:35. We're coming right back to read your text. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Falls Radio, WXCO. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night. And today, the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. That's a great summer song. Because Back to the Future was another great summer movie. I remember summer of 1985. That's another film I saw. I just couldn't get enough of it. I saw it like three or four times. Loved that song by Huey Lewis, The Power of Love. And I found this last night or the night before. Huey Lewis was talking about that song, Power of Love, and why it worked in that movie. And I thought it was a great point. And I'll discuss it. Let's hear the clip, and then we'll come out of it and discuss.
We weren't allowed to put Power of Love on our record, except in the rest of the world, in Europe. Yeah. So we never, you know, of all of our songs, we probably made less money on Power Love.
So crazy.
Actually, Power Love, on the surface, had nothing to do with the movie. The lyric has nothing to do with the movie. Yeah. And there's no real love object in the movie, even. The way these things work best is when the song stands on its own, and then the movie stands on its own. If the song is clearly written for the movie, it kind of diminishes the song somehow.
First Power Love was nominated for a Grammy and Oscar and the whole nine yards.
Zero. Not.
Which I was so frustrated. I watched the Oscars.
No Grammy. Yeah. We were nominated for like 10 Grammys.
I know.
One. Bruce Springsteen just killed us.
Man. Yeah.
Nine for, or something, for Born in the USA.
That's
the power of
love. That's such a great point. Like, the movies where the music works, he's so right about that. Like, they weren't written for the movie. Jay Leno used to do this great joke about how he hated movies, like when they would do the Oscars and movies were nominated and they would write production numbers for the films, even though they didn't have production numbers. And he would do like this, oh, those Amish, aren't they farmish? And it was like so bad. But I find that too when they write songs for movies. They can be really cheesy. But The Power of Love just worked on every level in Back to the Future. Such a great song. That was a great interview. We have a great question tonight, folks. What drink will you nurse on the 4th of July? I assume you'll start a little sooner than you typically do. So what are you going to drink? Obviously, you're not going to start with the shots at 10 a.m. Hopefully not. Well, Conrad might, but
might.
You're working that day, right?
No.
We've got Tom from New Berlin says, drone shows will replace fireworks shows, but together they will be spectacular. That's interesting. Yeah. That's great, Tom. Thank you. You're probably right about that. And there will be purists who won't want that. But Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says the first fireworks was really the Big Bang and nobody was there for the show. Well said. You know, the Big Bang started with something, a little molecule, like a thing smaller than a grain of sand. And I remember when I read this and it was so dense because everything that's here came out of that. That if you put it in the palm of your hand, it would take you into different dimensions. Mind-boggling. That's my science knowledge for the day. No, seriously, it was a book I read. I think it was called, it was a book about string theory by a guy named Brian Greene. It was called The Elegant Universe. And it was so fascinating. String theory is fascinating. But you read it, I had to read like every sentence like three times.
Yeah.
To let the,
you know those books.
Yeah, and I was fascinated, so I stuck with it, but I was like, wow, I am not smart enough to be reading this. Tom, again, from New Berlin says, Pete, it will fester and pull it like a man clean it good. Oh, the glass in my foot.
So it will fester. You need to pull it out and then clean it good.
I'm glad Tom's not my father. Sit down, boy, and pull that glass out of your foot. Liz from Sun Prairie says she's going to have tequila and soda with a lime or a splash of Aperol. Am I saying that right?
Yep, you got it.
Know that. Or another liqueur to give it a bit of flavor. Loving your show. No to handshakes. No to fireworks unless you can't hear them. A lot of people don't like fireworks because of their pets.
Yeah.
And that's something to consider. Yeah. That's something, too. Thank you, Liz. Great text. And I would shake your hand, Liz. I'm just saying that. I'm not saying I love handshakes, but I'm not a total curmudgeon. And we got Steady Eddie's text. I want to talk about this show I've been watching called Department Q. I recommend it. It's by the same guy who wrote The Queen's Gambit, and he wrote Minority Report, the Tom Cruise film. And it's a really good show. It's a detective show set in, I think, Belfast, Ireland. Actually, it's kind of ambiguous, but it's definitely somewhere in the UK. Or Ireland, and it's a really good show. A good detective show about a guy who unearths a cold case, and he's trying to find this girl who he thinks is still alive. And she is, but she's been missing for like 4 years. And the show starts with him getting shot with his partner. The partner gets shot in the spine. The bullet goes through the partner in this guy's jaw and out the other side of his neck. They both almost die, but neither one of them does. So he's dealing with the trauma of this horrible shooting. He doesn't know who shot him, and his partner is paralyzed. But they're both still working a case. It's a fascinating show, and I'm really digging it. But it's not one of those shows that you have to watch. Some shows you have, like, oh, by the way, I started White Lotus Season 3.
Oh, there you go.
Two episodes in.
How do you feel?
Patrick Schwarzenegger character is really creepy.
Oh, it's so
and I know
creepy.
It gets worse. I've heard.
It gets way worse.
But I like it. I like Mike White's phenomenal. All those shows are great. They're just well written. I love the three women who talk and like, oh, she's great. She's great. But you know what? Like, they always try to get a dig in on their friend. It's just really good. I'm only two episodes in, but I highly recommend Department Q. Very good stuff. We've got some text we'll get to. Let's go to PJ's on the stream. He says, soak foot in bucket of warm. He's not using any articles. He says, soak foot in bucket of warm water with Epsom salt. It will draw out the sliver. It's glass, though. Will that work for glass?
I would just try it to see if it works because I've had it work.
Carl's a distiller. Let's ask him. PJ also says, I might pick up a pack of Sensei High seltzers. These are available in lemonade and strawberry lemonade flavors and come in 4-packs, 8-packs, and 16-packs with varying THC concentrations. Keep them all there, PJ. If you're really going to nurse them, do it right, right? All right, we'll read more of your texts as the show goes on. Coming up next, we're going to talk spirits with Carl Lowenstein. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And good evening, everyone. Chad Holmes from Sunnyvale Softball Complex in Wausau as we are getting set tonight for American Legion Softball. Wausau post 10 against Winterberg Burnhamwood, scheduled to be on the air for the first pitch at this point. However, the Junior Legion game is running long, and they are just finishing things up in the last half inning of that one. And then after that, we will have the Senior Legion game. So I wanted to pop on, let you know there is a bit of a delay in our broadcast. It should not be very long right now. Again, we are almost to the end of the Junior Legion game, and then we'll have the Senior Legion game almost immediately after that. So we expect to be back here in the next 10 to 15 minutes for coverage of the Senior Legion game between Wausau Post 10 and Wittenberg Burnhamwood. So keep it tuned right here. We'll be back on the air again in just a few minutes here from Sunnyvale on 98.9 WX.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. During a recent appearance at Fuel Fest, Vin Diesel said he recently spoke with a Universal executive who asked him if they could do another Fast and Furious film, to which the actor said yes, but on three conditions. The conditions were to return the filming to production-starved L.A., embrace the purity of street racing once again, and to have his buddy Paul Walker make an appearance in the film. Walker passed away in 2013 after a high-speed car crash at just 40 years old. Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez's $50 million wedding was the talk of the weekend, but the talk wasn't all good. Charlize Theron spoke during her fifth annual African outreach project in L.A. and said to the crowd, "I think we might be the only people not invited to the most talked-about wedding," at which point the Mad Max Fury Road star said, "That's okay, because they suck and we're cool." Two very different events, but a lot less collagen and steroids at Theron's event. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 60s. Partly sunny for tomorrow, maybe a stray storm, a high in the mid 80s. And upper 80s on Thursday, another slight storm chance. A couple of storms around for the 4th of July and temps in the upper 80s and muggy. Currently 81 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin state budget, good, bad, what's going on with that? Dan Schaefer will join us to talk about that. Darren Von Ruden and Wisconsin farmers in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday as we barrel toward a big holiday here in America, the 4th of July. Can't wait. We'll be taking some time off here, but we'll have shows on throughout the end of this week and Monday. We have some really fun best of shows put together for you guys, so hopefully you can still get a dose of Nightlight if you so choose during our time away. PJ on the stream says, yes, that Epsom salt method will work for the shard of glass. The salt is a natural drawing agent. Science. Now, here's the danger, is he could put that and I'd go, okay, that's great. I don't know, PJ. He could drive a forklift and there's nothing wrong with that, but does he, you know, people just believe people.
You know, it's based on experience.
PJ put a piece of glass in his foot and got it out this way?
Yeah.
All right. Either way, I appreciate the advice, PJ. I'm sure you're a reputable human being and a great texter, but I don't know. It kind of scares me. Rob from Green Bay says, I'll be enjoying Athletic Brewing Company's Free Wave Hazy IPA. That's from Rob in Green Bay. That sounds lovely. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, I will be nursing the intergalactic garble blaster served only at the restaurant at the end of the galaxy. Prost. Wow. I don't know what to make of that. Tyler sounds like he's already having some fun for the holiday. All right, keep those texts coming, folks. What drink will you be nursing on the 4th of July? That is tonight's question of the night here at Nightlight. We will read your texts on the radio as they come in. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my first guest of the night. He is Carl Lowenstein, and he's the founder of Sturgeon Spirits Distillery. And check out the website, folks. Listen to the interview, but check out the website. I cannot even believe how much booze you make.
Oh, we have a great time. And thanks so much for having me on.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for being here. And it's great to have you actually in the studio. How was the drive up?
You know, once you get past the construction in Appleton, it's a straight shot.
Oh, okay.
It's really less than an hour to get up here. It's no big deal.
Oshkosh is a great city. Have you born and raised?
No, actually, okay. I grew up in Iowa.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us how you ended up in Oshkosh.
Well, basically for work. So I think, I taught at the university at UW Oshkosh for 23 years, and that was the first full-time academic job that I had. So that's where you go. Academics is weird that way.
Yeah.
When you get a job, you go there, and in many cases, you just stay.
Yeah, and it worked out well for you.
It did.
You decided to stay. You could put a distillery anywhere. I imagine Wisconsin's a good place for one.
It is, and so is Oshkosh, because we didn't have one, and it's a booming industry, and they're popping up all over the place.
Absolutely. All right, so let's jump right in, Carl. This is exciting. I was saying at the beginning of the show, my first, awareness of distilling and the process of how alcohol is made was from the show MASH, because Hawkeye and Trapper had their own still in their tent. And I thought that was fascinating. I remember trying to watch going, how do they do that? Like, so I don't know much about the distilling process. I've had another distiller on about a year ago, and I find it fascinating. But let's do a deep dive here, because you're just the guy to talk to. Tell us, first of all, about your business, Sturgeon Spirits.
So we are a little craft distillery. We do all. We're at 2663 Oregon Street in Oshkosh. We've got our own production facility and tasting room and cocktail lounge. We just opened a new event space, so we're having parties and bridal showers and a whole bunch of other things. And we've been at it now for just about 2.5 years.
Wow.
And I have been retired for about 1.5. So I worked the first year just in case it didn't come together for me.
But it came together.
It's going well, absolutely.
Okay.
I love my retirement.
Yeah. Are you working harder now on what you're doing now than you were when you were teaching?
Well, it's a very different kind of work. I mean, essentially, this was my hobby. I was distilling for probably 10 years in my garage. My wife kicked me out of the house and said, you'll blow it up if you distill in the house. So I'm outside in the garage and having a great time with that. And then I did. I got a long way in my teaching career, and I said, I need something new. And why not turn your hobby into a business?
Good for you. That's really impressive. All right. So did being a history professor, were you able to bring any of that knowledge to the distilling process or to this new business? Because I was looking, I asked that because on your website, you're very knowledgeable about all bourbons and whiskeys and everything. I'm sure you didn't teach that at Oshkosh, but you seem to have a love of history.
No, I think distilling is an incredibly historical discipline or business because there is nothing more deeply embedded in American history than drinking. And so it is such a core feature if you think about the parts of American history. The first rebellion against the U.S. government was the Whiskey Rebellion because they didn't like the taxes put on the farmers to pay for the whiskey. And, of course, Prohibition is just this weird moment in our history. So nothing I learned as a professor really came over. The skills I learned at how to read and how to do research. I mean, I just read books, right? Yeah. I love to just experiment and do all that stuff. And doing that kind of work is really what you do as a history professor.
It's so different, though, than what you did. That's what I guess fascinates me. Like, you're owning your own business now, and you're kind of an artist. You're making all these great drinks. And teaching is so different. Like, I'm kind of fascinated that you...
Well, that's true. I've always been the kind of guy who just sticks his hands in and goes, right? I love to learn new stuff. I love to keep experimenting. The fun part about distilling is there's always something new. And the same thing about being a small businessman, right? There's always a new thing to figure out, yeah. Right? I'm doing marketing. I'm doing accounting. I'm doing distilling. I'm making cocktails. I'm doing, you know, construction supervision. You name it. I have done it in the last 2.5 years. I love it.
Let me ask you this. Is it hard to learn? Like, if people are listening, and I'm sure you don't want everybody to do this, but it seems very involved in like a detail-oriented process. Is it hard to learn how to distill?
I think distilling is actually easier than making beer.
Okay.
Because one of the great things about distilling is that everything is at such high alcohol concentrations, it's sterile. And I don't know if you ever talked to a brewer, right? They have to worry about bacterial contamination, yes, and dirty lines and all this stuff and oxygen and all these things that contaminate your product and makes it not taste good. I can take whatever I make, I run it through the still, it comes off the still at 80% alcohol. Or 90% alcohol, it's sterile and it's clean. And in fact, I was just talking to some of my friends at Fifth Ward Brewery in Oshkosh, and they brought me some beer that they had too much of and they'd had some contamination problems. I distilled it. It made a terrific whiskey. I mean, I would say it's a terrific whiskey. We put in a barrel for a year and it's delicious.
That's fascinating. I was telling you before we came on the air that Flicks Brewhouse in Madison made a nightlight beer for the Wisconsin Film Festival called Haze on Radio. I want to say, Dave, the brewmaster, had it done maybe in 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. How long is it more of a process when you're distilling spirits?
Well, actually, distilling is brewing with one more step. So okay. I essentially make a beer, and it's a whiskey mash or a corn mash or a rum mash or whatever. I ferment that so the sugars get turned into alcohol.
Right.
And then I put it in my still.
Okay.
Right. And with your brewing, you just turn it into alcohol and then you serve it. I do one more step. And so for me, I can do a batch in a week from start to the spirit coming off the still. But the thing about it is it comes off the still clear. No matter what you make, it's clear, and whatever proof you want it to be at the still, it comes off clear. And the color that's in a whiskey comes from the barrel and the aging. That's why moonshine is clear, because that's fresh from the still, even though it's the same recipe as a whiskey.
So the color of whiskey, scotch, bourbon, whatever, is because of the barrel?
Yes. It is absolutely crystal clear when it comes off the still.
So why do they say, and maybe it has nothing to do with the actual color then, but they say stay away from the brown, whether it's colas or like a whiskey. I think vodka is not as detrimental to your health.
Well, they're all pretty bad for you if you drink them straight. I guess, that's why the cocktails are better.
Okay.
But I think that's personal preference. But one of the things about the, well, we get into a lot of detail, but whiskey usually comes off the still at a lower proof and therefore has more stuff left in it. When you take vodka off the still, it's all the way up at 95% pure alcohol. So there's no impurities left in that at all. So it's super, super pure alcohol. And that's where, and I think that's why vodka can have a smaller effect on you, because there's less kind of leftovers and esters and various other chemical compounds that pass through the distilling process.
That makes a lot of sense. Tell me about, if you would, the barrels, because I mean, you say you use white oak barrels.
Right.
Do all, like, what's the perfect barrel to use to make a whiskey or a scotch or, you know, something like that?
Well, it's not, everything's an art. That's one of the things I love about it, right? There's the simple answer, which is there's a government rule that says you can't call it bourbon unless it's in a new American white oak barrel. So if you get a bourbon, you know what kind of barrel it, and it has to be in there for at least 2 years. So there's a federal regulation defining what bourbon is. For whiskeys and scotches and all of those other things, there are rules, but you can use whatever barrel you might want. But to have bourbon, you need to have new white oak American barrel.
Why?
I don't know. I think that I don't actually have a good answer to why it has to be that specifically. I have a feeling it has to do with the industry as it developed, right? To say when bourbon as an idea was coming into being, they said, we want to make sure it's really distinctive and we want to do something that's really uniquely American. Hmm. And so putting in an American white oak barrel does impart a certain flavor, but it also is part of the thing that makes bourbon bourbon.
My guest is Carl Lowenstein. He is the founder of, I'm completely blanking here, Sturgeon Spirits Distillery in Oshkosh. It is located at 2663 Oregon Street in Oshkosh. They do tours, events, everything. They have every kind of alcohol under the sun. Go to the website and check out their website, because you'll be blown away by all of the products they offer. How long does it take to make good whiskey, let's say a good Irish whiskey, or you said bourbon has to stay for 2 years, and you've only been in business for barely that long. So.
Right, I have no bourbon to sell in bottles. We have some really young stuff that we do use for cocktails and tastings, but I don't sell it in a bottle because it's not ready yet.
But you're working on it.
Sitting in barrels. Like I have a ton of barrels just sitting around waiting.
Oh, but man. How excited are you to taste that when it comes out? That must be like something you look forward to.
Oh, no, it's really exciting. We taste it. We do taste it every once in a while, and I think it's getting really close. And so the other thing that you can do is big and small barrels. And so I have some really small barrels that will be faster. We're going to hit that two-year part and have a young bourbon that we will release. But we're not there yet.
I've tasted new whiskey. And it doesn't quite have the taste of, how long do you have to let whiskey sit before it's really good? And does that matter?
It does. It totally matters. And, you know, obviously some people go for let it sit for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
5 is the kind of industry standard that it needs to be in a barrel for 5 years to kind of be, again, with bourbon without a caveat.
Yeah.
But there are so many variables that, it's hard to say, and I think a lot of it's individual taste, so what you like. Because you can also over oak, whiskey, and that's like it tastes literally too oaky and not what I want. And so there's a lot of fine tuning.
Carl Lowenstein is here. He is the founder of Sturgeon Spirits Distillery, and when we come back, I'm going to ask him what the difference is between 18-year Scotch and 10-year Scotch. Let's start there, and then we'll find out all awesome stuff that they offer at Sturgeon Spirits. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. So soon we'll burn without a noise,
without my pride. I'll reach out for me. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
It's time for Wausau Post 10 American Legion Softball on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Wausau Post 10 American Legion Softball is brought to you by American Family Insurance, Jamie Schley Agency, Featherstone Cabinetry, Price Less Building Center, Edward Jones Investments, Peter Gunn Agent. It's time for American Legion Softball with Wausau Post 10 on 98.9 WXCO. And good evening, everyone, and welcome to Sunnyvale Softball Complex and American Legion Softball on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Tonight, it is Wausau Post 10 hosting Wittenberg Burnwood. I'm Chad Holmes, and on a little bit late because the Junior Legion game ran just a little bit long. But now we're almost set to go. Let's go over the lineups real quickly. For Wittenberg Burnwood, leading things off and playing shortstop is Bree Ladicka. Kendall Lex, the pitcher, hits second. Jada Monkey is at catcher, hitting third. Tina Mattson, the center fielder, hits fourth. Olivia Soyce is the second baseman, hitting fifth. Caitlin Newson is at first base, hitting sixth. Gabby Lemieux in left field, bats seventh. Reese Kasprak is the third baseman, hitting eighth. Emily Leonard, the right fielder, hits ninth. The extra hitter, Gracie Rue, bats tenth. For Wausau Post 10, leading off and playing center field, Mallory Smogaleski, batting second. And playing second base is Baylen Holstrom. Batting third, the shortstop, Taylor Defner. Carly Clues is the catcher, batting fourth. Batting fifth and playing third base is Madison Krause. Adriana Bodner is the pitcher, hitting sixth. Kenna Gale is at first base, hitting seventh. Molly Mushinsky in left field, bats eighth. And Addie Beversdorf is the right fielder, batting ninth. So perfect timing. Got on the air, got the lineups in, and now set for the first pitch here from Sunnyvale on a beautiful Tuesday evening. Lots of sunshine, warm temperatures, and really glad you could be with us here on 98.9 WXCO. Temperature stands at 77 degrees. Bree Ladicka, the shortstop, will step in first for Wittenberg Burnwood. First pitch of the game is a fastball from Adriana Bodner in for strike one called. We'll give you the Wausau Post 10 defense here in just a moment. The lefty rocks and deals. There's a line drive into left field for a base hit. Leadoff single for Ladicka for Wittenberg Burnwood to get things underway. Up next, the number two hitter in the Whitburn order, pitcher Kendall Lex. A lot of sunglasses out there here this evening. The sun's still way up in the sky. There's a square around, good bunt. Picked up by the pitcher. Just one play, fires the first in time. Good play made by Bodner, as Madison Krause came in hard from third base but was not able to get to the softball. Went past Krause, but Bonner made a clean pick and a good throw to get Lex, but it is a successful sacrifice bunt. One out, runner on second base for Jada Monkey, the catcher for Wittenberg-Bernabeud. Here's the pitch. Fastball just off the inside corner for ball one. Wittenberg-Bernabeud, black jerseys, black pants, green numerals, gold trim. Fastball on the outside corner, taken for a strike. Wausau post 10, dark blue jerseys, white numerals, white pants, red trim, red on the sleeves as well with white stars. There's a slot. Oh, knocked down by the pitcher, Bodner. Picks it up, fires the first in time. Liner right back through the box, but able to knock it down was Adriana Bodner. 1-3 on the putout. Ladicka advances 60 feet to third base with two outs. And now the cleanup hitter for Wittenberg-Bernabeud, center fielder Tina Mattson. Here's Bodner's pitch. Fastball off the inside corner for ball one. Molly Mushinsky is in left field for Wausau Post 10. Mallory Smogaleski in center. Addie Beversdorf in right. 1-0. Drops down low on a fastball. Two balls and no strikes. Madison Krause at third base. Taylor Defner, the shortstop. Baylen Holstrom at second base. Kenna Gale, the first baseman. And Carly Kluse, the catcher for Bodner. Here's a fall back to the screen just above my head to the right. And that's strike one. Wind pushing out towards left field. Two balls and a strike. Bodner's pitch. There's a looping liner towards second. Backhanded off the top of the ground by Baylen Holstrom. Going to her right nicely to grab it, get the third out, and end the inning. No runs on one base hit. There were no errors and one runner left on base. End of one half inning. It is Wittenberg-Bernabeud nothing. Wausau Post 10 coming to the plate. This is Post 10 Softball on 98.9 WXCO.
Hi, Jamie Schley here, agent with American Family Insurance. Do you know what it takes to make homeownership dreams a reality? American Family Insurance employees and agency owners and their local communities too. That's why I'm proud to support American Family's work with Habitat for Humanity. Just another reason why life's better when you're under our roof.
Contact Jamie Schley, agent at Jamie Schley Agency, LLC at 715-359-2400 today.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Transform your home with the finest craftsmanship and custom cabinetry for your kitchen, bathroom, or closet. At Featherstone Cabinetry and Design, we bring your vision to life. From concept to completion, with expert design and professional installation. Choose Featherstone Cabinetry and Design for all your home upgrade needs. Proudly serving you from our locations in Rothschild and Minocqua. Check them out at www.featherstonecabinetry.com.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, streaming at bullfallsradio.com.
And Chad Holmes again from Sunnyvale Softball Complex. Bottom half of inning number one, Wausau Post 10 coming to the plate in this scoreless game. And leading things off for Post 10, be number five, Mallory Smogaleski. Right-handed batter. Kendall Lex in the circle for the Whitburn. There is a fastball in there for strike one called. Mallory Smogaleski, Baylen Holstrom, and Taylor Defner. 1-2 and 3 in the order for Wausau here in the first. 0-1, swing and a miss. Taking a little bit off change of pace from Lex. No balls and two strikes. Right-handed batter, right-handed thrower. Target is set, 0-2. There's a flare off over the first base dugout out of play. We'll do it again at no balls and two strikes. Quick note that tomorrow we will have another Post 10 matchup. We'll be in Marathon as Post 10 takes on Marathon American Legion. 0-2. There's a fly ball center field. Coming in is Tina Mattson. Now back a couple of strides and the ball carried. And she makes a leaning grab backwards to make the grab. That ball carried pretty well. And Mattson fought it, but able to bring it in for out number one. Up next for Post 10 will be the second baseman, Baylen Holstrom. Baylen, right-handed batter, will settle in. Kendall Lex to the plate. Fastball pops into the mid of her catcher monkey, and that's strike one. We'll give you the Wittenberg-Burnhamwood defense here in a moment. No balls and one strike. And the pitch, swing and a miss. That was a little bit down low. Coming up empty was Baylen Holstrom, nothing and two. Gabby Lemieux in left field, Tina Mattson in center. Emily Leonard in right for Wittenberg-Burnhamwood. Reese Kasprak at third, Bree Ladicka at second, Olivia Seuss at second, Ladicka at short. But here's the pitch. Fastball misses just a tad up, maybe a little outside for a ball. Again, Bree Ladicka at shortstop, Olivia Seuss at second base, Caitlin Newson, the first baseman, Jada Menke, the catcher, and Kendall Lex is the pitcher. Ball and two strikes. There's a fly ball, center field, coming in is Tina Mattson, and goes off her mitt and her hand, and safe at first will be Baylen Holstrom. Tried to make a basket catch, and actually looked like it went off the throwing hand first of the center fielder, and it looks like she's shaken up. Yeah, it looks like that ball bounced off the hand as she tried to come in. At first she wanted to make a conventional catch, but then realized maybe the basket catch would be better. But in the end, it did not get to the glove. It actually hit off the hand, then may have glanced off the glove. And safe on the air is Holstrom. And right now they're going to go out to make sure that Tina Mattson is okay. Again, if that ball hits awkwardly off the hand, it could be a fingernail, it could be a finger. Going over is the left fielder, Lemieux, to make sure that her teammate is okay. And it looks like trying to walk it off will be Mattson. So a runner on first, one out, and the number three hitter, Taylor Defner, coming to the plate for Wausau.